Ben, here we are on Gender Trouble. We're at 89.1 FM and very, very sunny. Summer is here, Silver City. And you can listen to us on gmcr.org. If you click on that site, right, gmcr.org, there's going to be three boxes that come up. The first box says donate. That's why it's first. It says donate. And we all are volunteers here. We all just our time, our effort, everything, and it's very expensive to run a radio station. So the donate button. The second button says streaming. So if you're out of, happen to be like in Tucson or Cruces or someplace, you could hit the streaming button. And if you don't catch this show because you're working right now or whatever, then go to streaming. That's the third button. So, okay, and we got a wonderful show here today, and I'm here with Renee. And Renee, do you want to talk about the show? Or, well, let me do it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have guests here, and they're going to talk about the National Crime Victims' Rights Week, and there's all kinds of programs. And with us is Albert Placencio and Amaya Chavarria. And...
Okay. Of the sixth Judicial District Attorney's Office.
Okay.
And so they're here to tell us about all the events they have planned for that week.
Yeah. So first, tell us a little bit about yourself. I mean, I've never met either of you, and I've been here 36 years, so I've met a lot of people in this town. And in fact, District Judge Robinson. What was his first name?
I just know him by Robinson.
Yeah, he was my attorney back when he was an attorney.
Wow.
So, yeah. And why did his name pop? I'm 80, so names pop out of my head. I get to do that. But anyway, so I know very little about court systems and what you do. And so tell us how you got involved and why you're doing it and what your role is, both of you, okay?
So, okay.
Yeah, we'll start with either person, Amaya or Albert.
Okay, so Amaya's pointing to me, so I guess I'll start. my name's Albert Placencio. I was born and raised here in the mining district. Moved away for a little bit, came back, got my education, and started with the district attorney's office in Luna County in 2017 or 2018. I can't recall. And started doing victim services. A lot of people don't recognize how victim-friendly the judicial process is. So there are what people call victim advocates, but the correct title is victim witness assistant, because we can't keep things between you and I, especially if it has an effect with the case. We'd have to share that information with the prosecutor. If you lost a pinky toe in the fifth grade, okay, that can stay with me. But but if it's case related, I have to share it with the prosecutor. I started doing it, and I started with what's called the VOCA grant. Victim of Crime Act was passed in 84 by Ronald Reagan, because crimes would happen, victims would be victimized, and prosecution and defense attorneys would make plea agreements or deals, and nobody let the victims know. And so that was instituted back in 84. So we had the VOCA, Victim of Crime Act, mostly centers on enumerated crimes. By enumerated crimes, I mean like those violent crimes, homicides, assaults, sexual assaults, child abuse, armed robbery, the really bad crimes. But with the six, every crime gets a victim witness assistant. But I'm getting off topic, sorry. So I was doing victim advocacy and victim witness assistance there in Luna County. And I was promoted to a victim witness coordinator that kind of oversees the program. We currently have 3 victim witness assistants in Grant County. We have 3 in Luna County, and we have half in Hidalgo County. She's a part-time victim witness assistant. We look to serve victims of crime and help them and support them, walk them through the process, get them connected with resources, anything that we can do to help them and ease the process. It's not always fun. It's not always nice. It just comes with the territory.
So what comes to me is mental health. I mean, they're going to be traumatized and shocked, and is there a way that you aid them in finding some kind of therapy?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we get them connected with therapists. And we like to leave it up to them. If they want to stay within the community, great. But a lot of people, especially after being victimized, like to do, and thank goodness for telehealth, right, that work with people outside of the area, because it's such a small area and everybody knows everybody. Sometimes they really like to get that those tools from somebody that doesn't know anything about them. And so we are connected with providers from Las Cruces. Well, I guess it's pretty much... We send some people to Las Cruces for telehealth services because, again, like I said, we cover the 6th Judicial District, which is Grant, Luna, and Hidalgo County.
Okay. And, I had a question. Oh, where is your office?
So I'm fortunate enough to have an office in 3 locations. I have one in Lordsburg at the basement of the old courthouse. I'm on the 3rd floor here in our beautiful courthouse, and then in Luna County.
Oh, okay.
In Deming, New Mexico.
Yeah, so you travel a bit. You drive a lot.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, let's go to Amaya. You can't put it off. You have to talk about yourself. And so what is your role, and what do you do, and where do you work?
So my name is Amaya Chavarria, and I am a victim witness assistant here at the 6th Judicial District Attorney's Office. I am currently covering Luna County cases and also helping with Hidalgo County. So basically, Albert told her, my role, I make sure the victims are notified of their court hearings, make sure that they get the resources that they need, depending on what crime they're a victim of.
I see. Are victims sometimes afraid or often afraid to testify, like to come to court because they're afraid?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. They're terrified. Every situation's unique. Every victim is different, right? Because just because it's another domestic violence or it's another... situation where the victim's back in our door, we got to treat each event as it's the first time, because it's hard enough what they're going through. They're scared. They're tired. They already know that the system plays out. So we just try to support them again and sit there with them, console them, talk to them, give them a water, give them some sweets, whatever it takes. We just really want them to know that the Victim Witness Assistance Program is a huge support system for them.
Okay.
And not just, we're going to go to the district attorney's office or we're going to go to court. No, we're going to go see Amaya and Deming because she has food boxes for me, or Crystal and Deming because she has food boxes for me, or I'm going to come see Jasmine because she's going to hook me up with some cameras, security cameras for my apartment. That's the kind of relationship that I want to see built with the program, and they're doing a great job at it.
Here's a big question. Have you ever had witness relocation, had to do that?
I've had to do...
Like on TV, you know?
So, it's not... Right. A lot of them come in with that Law and Order, dun-dun, kind of like, oh, this is going to happen. But I've had to do one. I had one victim that I was going to get her relocated to Santa Fe, And last minute, she just disappeared.
Wow.
She just stopped taking phone calls. She stopped answering like letter requests. Unfortunately, sometimes it's an environment that you just get stuck in.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, you know, our name of our show is Gender Trouble. And I know a lot of women are just sometimes get terrified and they will run or they just, you know, or they succumb to,
right.
they don't know how to get away and they give up.
And it's so sad, Susan, because it's true that they have to run, right? One victim felt like she had to move from her house where she bought it. She built a home for her and her children. And she almost got to the point where she's like, I'm going to leave. And I go, that is so sad that you have to leave. Send him away. Send that defendant away. Because this is your home and these are your roots. It almost wanted to empower him to protect himself. But again, their safety is their safety. Well, to make a long story short, she did not move. He's in prison and she's doing great with her family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful news because I know it's so difficult. So where are we at?
Yeah, so Maya, I know that you took a big lead in planning these events and made all these wonderful flyers. And so I was wondering if you could tell us about the three events that you have planned for National Crime Victims' Rights Week.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and start off the week with a survivor luminaria lighting in Lordsburg, and that's on Monday, April 22nd, and that's going to be at Lordsburg Memorial Park, and it'll be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Luminarias will be provided, and I think that's a great event to go and light a luminaria for victims of a crime.
And where in Lordsburg?
It's at the Lordsburg Memorial Park. It's okay. Right across Dollar General for anybody who's familiar with Lordsburg.
It's a beautiful park.
Yeah.
And we're doing that mostly to honor survivors,
yeah.
Crime survivors, because, you know, unfortunately, we lose some, right? And that's always unfortunate when we lose loved ones. And when victims actually step up and testify and finally face that fear, It's heartwarming, and it's empowering for them, and so that's why we're doing a luminaria light up, and I'm kind of hoping, because I think they're battery operated luminarias,
right.
So I'm kind of hoping that for throughout the week that Lordsburg lights them up in the evening, but those are things that we have to work out. It's still going to be again to honor crime survivors.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're before you start that one, the next one, which is like a 5K run, you got two 5K runs, right?
Yes.
Okay, but we're going to take a break here. And so I'm going to point to Renee, and she's going to do the break.
Thank you. Well, you are listening to KURU 89.1 FM. And we're also on the web at gmcr.org. And when you get to gmcr.org, there's a donate button. And we, you know, need all the donations we can get. That's how we run this radio station. We are all volunteer, except for our station manager, who gets a very small stipend. And you can stream on the web. You can also catch our archives on the web if you missed the show. So,
and we are in very sunny Silver City, New Mexico.
Yes, we are.
And so there's some events coming up connected with KURU, our radio station. And, you know, this Saturday coming up, April 20th, is Earth Day, and also it's the Continental Divide Trail Days. And that's a fun one because all these people are there. They're like rangers and things. And you get to cut a little slice off a log, and they'll brand it with a hot iron that says CDT, Continental Divide Trail. And I have one in front of my house. So it's a fun day. And guess what? KURU 89.1 FM, our radio station, will have a booth there and a table, and you could talk to some of the people that are bringing the radio station, just bringing programs like this to you. And in fact, I'm going to be there because I hate missing Earth Day. So, and then on the evening of Saturday, on the 20th, there's going to be a dance. So, join us, Earth Day Dance at the Murray Hotel Ballroom. And you all know where the Murray Hotel is on Broadway. And the Big Ditch Crickets. Now, those are real stomping kind of music they put out, so you could do probably even clogging with them. It's a real, you know, kick up your heels kind of dance group. Lots of fiddle playing, and they're fun. And so, please join us for that. And there's a small donation. It's suggested. Suggested means like if you don't have the money, then just tell them you can't do it, but they're not going to keep you out. And so, but the suggestion is individuals $10. And if you're a couple or two people, you come together, you have to hold hands, $15. And so you could come in together.
And children under 12 get in free.
Hey, yeah. I like that. And this is a band that children will like to dance to. And so that's a lot of station break. But okay, we're going to come back to Amaya and Albert. And they're talking about the National Crime Victims' Rights Week. I have to tell you, it's an area that I don't know. I haven't been involved in it. As a kid, I kind of spent a lot of time in juvenile hall. I'll tell you about victims. Juvenile hall was the first place I felt safe.
Wow.
I didn't want to leave it, but then they put me in a foster home. But it was the first place because the door is locked. You always know what's going to happen. And it's just like, oh, I could stay here.
You have the stability, right?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You have security through stability.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. I was 13 years old, and it was. So I kind of feel what's going on. And
yeah, absolutely. You know, the work comes from the victims, right? We support them, and like that change comes from them. Like they know when they've had enough, and they know when they want to change. And that is, I can't tell you, I get chills because I've had the honor of working with so many victims that have made that change and that are doing well now in life. You know, regardless of the outcome of the hearings, they made that change. They're like, you know, no more. I'm not gonna do it anymore. I'm not gonna put my kids through this. I'm gonna be better for myself because I need to be better for myself. So it's really awesome to see when they have that.
When they finally stand up.
Yes.
And when they finally say, "Okay, I'm not gonna do it." That's what happened to me at 13. I said, I'm not going to live in this house anymore. It was dangerous for me. I'd never come home. But I would say, you know, I finally said no.
Yeah, enough's enough, right?
Yeah. And so anyway, Amaya was getting ready to talk about these 5K races, which I'm totally incapable of doing. But anyway, so tell us about them.
So on Friday, we're doing a 5K Walk for Hope. And that's Friday, April 26th. And that will be held at the Mimbres Valley Learning Center in Deming, New Mexico. And that's from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. When you register, there should be some flyers that are all around town. It says scan here to register. It's a QR code. And once you scan in, You'll be able to let us know what size of T-shirt you wear. And this event comes with the T-shirt, a goodie bag. We're actually going to have some survivors speak. One of the stories that Albert was telling right now, she's speaking, and her story is full circle. She's came a long way. It's a great story.
It's a tearjerker. Bring some tissue, because it's a tearjerker.
So this is next Friday, right?
Yes.
Next Friday. And what's the location in Deming?
So that will be in Mimbres Valley Learning Center. It's where the Western New Mexico
I don't know where that is.
It's on Pine Street.
Yeah.
Oh, Pine
all the way down
Street.
Pine Street.
That's like the main street in Deming.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. It's on the corner of Pine Street and Country Club.
Oh, okay. So when you go into Deming, like we always do, turn left.
Yes.
And you go down and you'll see Country Club. There'll be some trees around and stuff. And yeah, okay.
So one thing that Amaya did, she put this all together, by the way, and the designs and everything. She worked so hard at it. But one of the things she failed to mention is it's free, all free.
Yes, all free.
Yeah, that's nice. And time again?
On Friday?
It'll be from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, so that means you have to leave here at 11 o'clock at the latest. You know, leave here at 10:30 and go to Deming next Friday.
Well, there's going to be one here, too, as well.
Right. Yeah. So the next day, which is Saturday, April 27th, we are also hosting another 5K Walk for Hope, and that will be at Western New Mexico University football field. And that's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., same thing, they're all around town. There should be flyers with the QR code to scan to register. You'll receive a T-shirt, some goodie bags, agency booths. All the agencies that are going to be present are the resources we use to victims. So I think that'd be a great, if you feel like you're a victim of a crime and you want to come and see what resources we connect with.
And if you make it for Friday, you're like, oh, well, I already heard the stories. I'll just pass up on Saturday. Saturday, we're going to do something just a little bit different for our speakers. We're going to actually do a recognition for them. Because what they are doing is very brave. I can tell you that, like I said, one of the stories is from Luna County. It's a tearjerker. It's really uplifting to see that somebody can pull themselves out of it, especially as bad as she was. But our second victim that's speaking is a local. And when I talked to her, I said, hey, I really would like you to go to this event as a guest. And she looked at me dead in the eye and said, I want to talk.
Uh-huh.
Mike, then we'll, if you're wanting to share your story, we will. And she is a strong, young teenager that is ready to share. So I do encourage you guys, if you can, to go to both and see the difference in how they present themselves. Because, I mean, it's easy to talk to a bunch of strangers, right? So we have our Luna County that's nervous about talking in Luna County. So I could imagine that our Grant County might be nervous, but who knows? Like, she looked me dead in the eye and said, no, I want to talk. I'm like, okay,
okay,
fair enough.
Yeah.
And we also have a service provider that's going to speak that's very well known in the area. Mm-hmm. So she'll be speaking as well. Because the theme is, it is options, services, and hope. For crime survivors, how would you help? So that's the theme this year. And so it's going to be neat to have a service provider up there that's going to be saying, this is how I help people.
Yeah.
Because, like, what would you do if a neighbor called you and said, this happened, some guy broke in and just tortured me? How would you help? Because, I mean, it's more than just us as victim witness assistants and victim advocates and service providers. We're all in this together, right? We all feel this. When something bad happens in our community, I have seen it impact this community. And I can't tell you how many times that we've had, witnesses, crucial witnesses for a crime say, no, I just called the cops. I'm done. I'm like, but you're an eyewitness. Yeah. We're losing the victim because the victim's terrorized or terrified. Like, it's like your testimony is so important. And they're like, oh, no, I really don't want to. I'm afraid of that family or whatever it is. And it takes all of us. It takes a community.
Yeah.
And I strongly believe in a strong community with you know, to be educated in this system. Like you said, Susan, you're not too familiar with it. Last time you were involved, you were a teenager, and now you're what you said, 79, 80, pushing, yeah, 16 or something, 22, something like that. But it does. It takes a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I've encouraged people to just give us a call. We'll talk to you guys about whatever it needs to be, because I think education is empowerment.
It is. Yeah. I was going to ask you, is SAS going to have a booth there?
Yes.
They will. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're sort of one of my favorite organizations here in town. They do so much good work.
Absolutely. Yes. I can't say I have favorites because I work with all of them. They're all great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
SAS, HMS, Elder Fujio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're great. And they're there. They're willing to help all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So yeah.
It seems like we're in this small community, but there's a lot of different organizations that have different services that they could provide. And it's just all about, you know, calling us and reaching out and saying, hey, I'm going through this. What can you do to help? And so this event is all about that, coming out and seeing what these service providers can do for you.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. And do we have...
Yeah, we have more questions, and I think...
we got time for one before we do a station break.
Yeah, and I think we've covered this one, but maybe you want to elaborate. So, like, why is it so important to observe this National Crimes Victims' Right Week?
You can answer? Hurry, dead air.
I can answer.
Pressure.
Right? So, I think... Why is it important that we celebrate?
So that I think that question would take a little bit more than the 3 minutes that we have left.
Yeah.
But I so
we could come back.
Can we come back to that again? Yeah. I just want to reiterate that the 6th Judicial District Attorney's Office isn't just Silver City. It is Silver City. It's Grant County. It's Luna County, it's Hidalgo County. So we're working with agencies with Bayard, Santa Clara, Hurley, Damien, Hachita, Lordsburg.
Animus.
Where else?
Animus.
I mean, we are really involved in the community. So we're out there. And if you ever do see us, set it up at a table. We encourage you guys to come talk to us.
It's a long drive to Animus.
It is.
I grew up, I've been here long enough. I remember when Animus had state champion football team.
Wow.
You know, way back, who would think little Animus? But they did. They were state champions.
Wow.
I always think about when you say Animus, I always go, yeah. But anyway, so we're going to do a break, and we're going to talk about some events. And so am I doing it?
You can do it this time, Susan. I did it last time.
Okay. This is Gender Trouble, and we're speaking to you from KURU 89.1 FM in very sunny Silver City, New Mexico. And also you can listen to us, and I know people listen to us from California, Washington, you know, a lot of different places because they're friends, and I call them and say, listen to us. And but anyway, so you could go to gmcr.org, and when you write that in and click on it, then you'll see Gila Memories Community Radio, and you could donate or stream or listen to archives. And so I think I want to go back to you guys because I don't want to run out of time. And on the next station break, we'll go through all these events again. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So we're talking here with Amaya and Albert, and they're representing the 6th Judicial District Office of Victim Support, right? National, right? Victim Support. What, say the name of your thing.
So 6th Judicial District Attorney's Office, and we are raising awareness for National Crime Victims Rights Week.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess now we can get back to...
The question was, you know, why is it so important to observe National Crime Victims Rights Week?
Again, I think that education is... knowing what's out there for resources, knowing what's out there for support, knowing what... What? Because nobody wants to be a victim. I can honestly, most positively tell you that nobody wants to be a victim. And victimization does not discriminate. And it's awful when it happens to you. So National Crime Victims Rights Week is so important because the criminal justice system is so unfriendly to victims. The defendant has a right to cross-examine their accusers or anybody testifying against them, and that is their right. So it is hard sometimes for victims and witnesses to go and face that defendant and talk to them, or and they're not even talking to the defendant, they're talking to the defense attorney who is questioning them, and it's very intimidating. For so long, victims didn't have a voice. They would just have to deal with things. Well, this is the way it turned out. So, and they just, for so long, they just were re-victimized over and over and over again. So we definitely do our best and put in our best efforts not to re-victimize the victims. We want to support them. We want to hopefully help them move on and transition into a better life, and more importantly, find justice for them. And sometimes that justice that they are seeking isn't always what, you know, what we think it is. Put the guy behind bars or whatever. It's also finding that spouse or defendant, that whatever the relation is to them, finding them help too. Ms. Susan, you mentioned the mental health crisis and stuff. So many times a lot of these defendants have issues, and it's so hard to we want to try to get them support and help too. Obviously not through our office, but our prosecutors look for ways to try to help them as well. To find justice and to get them the services that they might need, I guess is better worded. So National Crime Victims Rights Week is so important because it's honoring crime survivors.
Yeah, it's and I think this week is dedicated to learning about victimization and what effects it has to the family, to themselves, and to the community. Another big thing that we vouch about is their rights, what rights the victims have, and that's one of the main things we go over with when they become a crime. These are the rights that they have, and they need to be heard.
So do you? That's probably the sometimes if there's an attorney involved, right? There's a prosecuting attorney, yes. And there's a defense attorney. The defense attorney in this case could be kind of harsh towards the victim, trying to get the criminal off, right?
Right.
And so you help them with that, or?
Yeah, correct. A lot of times they try to, how would you say, tarnish their validity, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right. What do you mean that, I don't know, they try to like poke holes in their story, whatever it is that they do. I mean, they're just doing their job too.
Well, like rape victims, so bring it up, or sexual assault. They're intimidated and not even hardly.
And that's one of the hard ones, right? Rape victim, because they have to report it. and then talk to a detective and talk about it again, and then maybe talk to another detective so they can write the report, and talk to a nurse and they have to tell them and tell a doctor, and then ultimately when it comes to talk to the prosecutor and tell their story again. That's the kind of re-victimization, right?
Yeah, it is. You don't want to think,
because sometimes it's really hard for them. And we do our best to try to work with them and try to get the information that we need. It takes a certain breed of people to do this line of work. And I think that we have one of the best teams that ever in this district right
That's
now.
That's wonderful, yeah. So I got a little question. I'm cutting in on you, Renee. Yeah, you just have
fine.
To bop me on the head if you've
fine.
Got something. But anyway, what in Grant County or in our 6th District, what kind of percentage are we talking about where people become victims of crime? Do you have that off the top of your head or not? Or is it like, would you say 2%, 3%, 5%? You know, that would be huge in my mind, but...
Percentage, maybe I'm not understanding the question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think about... So there's 10,000 people here in Silver City. It's always sort of that. And so what percentage of that people would maybe experience being a victim in their lifetime?
And I don't have the correct numbers, but at any given point, we have roughly around between the district, right, about 1,800 to 2,000 cases open.
Wow.
And our office believes that if a crime is committed, there's a victim. Whether it's a simple, like it's a DUI,
yeah,
the community is the victim at that point, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't do the direct work with everybody in the community, but the community is considered the victim in that kind of situation. We've had cases where it's a DUI and he's just driving like he is and knocks it off a couple of fences and mailboxes. Well, those people are victims. So we don't like I told you, like I spoke earlier, there's enumerated crimes and non-enumerated crimes. And enumerated crimes are the violent crimes. Non-enumerated crimes are like identity theft, white-collar crimes, bad check writing, stuff like that. Every victim is going to be treated as a victim of crime.
What about burglary?
Burglary as well.
Is that a... which one is that? Enumerated? Or
that
not?
Isn't a non-enumerated crime.
But you feel violated.
Absolutely.
I've been burglarized. You feel terribly violated.
Absolutely.
Somebody walked in your house and took something, and you feel like exposed. And
well, that's why we don't really do the whole enumerated, non-enumerated crime. We
yeah.
want to treat you as a victim of a crime because you were, right? Mm-hmm. If you were burglarized, yeah. that is very violating. And now... your home, which was once your solitude, it doesn't feel safe anymore.
Yeah.
So that's when these guys would probably get you connected with some more surveillance cameras and help you out and hopefully build you up to where you feel safe again.
Yeah, just somebody caring would make a big difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So another related question. Well, first I'll preface it with a statement. Like on this show, we are very much concerned about LGBTQ community issues and, of course, women issues pertaining to women. Can you tell us some statistics regarding people in those communities?
I can. And so I went to run some numbers, and women is... usually women are like at an 80% victim rate, right?
Wow.
However, when I was looking for LGBTQ, we captured demographics for some of the grants that we have. We have VOCA and VELA. VOCA, again, is Victim of Crime Act, and VAWA is Violence Against Women Act. So we have those two grants that help us have victim witness assistance for that. So we do collect demographics and such. However, anything pertaining to do with mental health or disabilities, LGBTQ, deaf or hard of hearing, homelessness or unhoused, that's a special demographic. So we don't question them on that. I am certain, like, you don't assume, right? We never assume. So if they don't report it to us that they're in the LGBTQ community, we don't capture that data. But I did look at the statewide, and these are off. You can find these stats at Office of Justice Program, or the OJP, the U.S. Department of Justice, or the USDJ, and the OVC, Office of Victims of Crime. It is more likely that a member of LGBTQ would be victimized almost four times greater than their straight counterpart.
Yeah, like there's something, a figure around 40% of homelessness can be related, especially with youth, can be related to the LGBTQ community. And it's hard to get sympathy, they do. And then the other figure that pops in my head a lot is, you know, about a third, and that's a conservative figure, of women have been in some way sexually molested or raped. And so that's a huge number.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I've sat in groups of women groups, and somebody will bring up how many people have been raped, and every woman will raise her hand. You know, it just happens. Happened to me, 12 years old. And so I had a troubled life. But anyway, and you don't deal with it. It messed me up until...
Yeah, and that's what happens if you don't deal
forever.
With it.
Forever, you know. It seemed like I was in my 60s. Before finally I was beginning to, you know, acknowledge what it was, you know, because you just carry it and you think it's your fault and all that. And a lot of victims think it's their fault. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They think they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. They shouldn't have been. They shouldn't have gone out. They shouldn't have, they should have crossed the street when they had an inclination to, and they didn't, and then they got, something happened to them. You know, that happens a lot. So victims blame themselves.
Yes, absolutely. And Susan, I'm glad that you did find your voice. And I'm sorry that it took you so long, that you had to carry it that long. Because it's exhausting. And it's draining. And it takes a toll on you mentally and physically. And that's why the Victim Witness Assistance Program is devoted to helping people and getting them connected with resources. We're definitely about prevention, right? We don't want to see it come again. We don't want it to happen. But it's unfortunately something that's just... Crime never takes a holiday.
No, it doesn't. And so from my perspective, the biggest thing you could say to any victim, it wasn't your fault.
That's right. It was not your fault. Yeah. You didn't ask for that. Somebody made a terrible choice. Because another thing is, I can't say it just happens. There's people out there that are planning these kind of events and actions to kids or women, and it's, I can't say it's impulsive. You know, I almost feel that it is planned. But it's, if you were a victim, yeah, it is not your fault.
Yeah, that's a big one. So we're going to do a break right now. And so our break is, Renee, am I doing it? Or are you?
I can do it this time, Susan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
You are listening to Gender Trouble on KURU 89.1 FM. You can also catch us on the web at gmcr.org. When you get to that website, you can either hit the donate button, stream, or listen to our archives. And we are located in beautiful, sunny Silver City.
And
we are here with Albert and Amaya of the 6th Judicial District Attorney's Office talking about National Crimes Victims' Rights Week.
Yeah, before we go back to you guys, which I'm sure glad you're here, and we're going to talk about this Saturday, Earth Day. Earth Day is a big, it's at Gulf Park, yeah. One day we tried to do it at the Penny Park, and I like having it at Gulf Park. So Earth Day and Continental Divide Trail Day, there'd be a lot of booths, a lot of people showing you how to make electricity out of, well, things we'd never think of. And but anyway, there'd be a lot of fun, a lot of things for kids. And the big thing is KURU 89.1 FM, this radio station, will have a booth there, and you'll be able to meet people from the station. And what else? Oh, yeah, following that, there's a dance at the Murray Hotel, and with the, Big Ditch Crickets. And so, and they're a fun band, so be sure to come. It's going to be $10 for an individual or $15 for a couple.
Suggested donation.
But how do we know you're a couple? Well, you got to hold hands. And because people could just say, you meet them in line, you know, you're in line to pay, and say, hey, let's be a couple. So I always think of those things. I grew up poor. I always say, how are we going to get through this? So anyway, so this Saturday, a lot going on, and it's not on this, but WNMU is having a great race this Saturday, too, which is always exciting.
Oh, yeah.
And I think others, this is a Saturday. Everybody decided to do all kinds of things. So look at the newspaper or look for flyers, because this is a real busy Saturday here in Silver City. So, okay, we're going to go back to Albert and Amaya. And we were talking about victim advocacy, and they represent the 6th Judicial District.
Attorney's office.
And I'm not good at those things. So anyway, and they're doing a lot of good work, and I'm excited. And so now's a good time for you to tell us again what is going on and why this week. What are we calling it? It's the National Crime Victims' Rights Week.
Well done, Susan. Well done.
And tell us what all that means.
So I'll let Amaya talk about the events one more time.
Amaya's the one who did all the work on putting all these flyers and the organizing.
I don't want to say so much that I did. We have a great team that helped me put this together and was able to take some of my caseload and attending my court hearings, so I was able to do this for the community. So we're starting off the week on Monday, April 22nd, and that will be a Survivor Luminaria lighting, and that will be held at Lordsburg Memorial Park. It will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., and luminarias will be provided. This is to light a luminaria in honor of crime survivors. So if you know anybody who has been a crime survivor or just want to light one for yourself, that'd be great.
You tell us, like, how you get there? You know, you go down to Lordsburg and you go under the tunnel or under the, railroad tracks. You do a loop to get up on that road,
yes,
right?
Okay. So it's across Dollar General.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. Right across there.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Yeah, Lordsburg is very small. You couldn't miss it. And so then on Friday, we're doing April 26th, we're doing a 5K walk for hope, and that will be held at the Mimbres Valley Learning Center from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m.
If I could interject really quick, Amaya, just because they're like, why are you doing a 5K walk in Deming at 12 p.m.?
Oh, yeah.
It's so hot, and you are so right. But our office is also participating in Day of the Child there in Luna County. And what Day of the Young Child is, it's to raise awareness about child abuse. Mm-hmm. And that's from 9 to noon. So we're going to be – we're double booked, Susan, Renee. We'll be at the Day of the Child in the morning and then doing our walk, our thing in the afternoon. So that's why we did the 12 to 4. We didn't want to conflict with this cause because it's a great cause. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome to see all the kids line up and do a little parade down from the museum there in Deming, down, I can't recall the entire route, but they end up at the Courthouse Park, and we're going to have a table there and an activity for the kids, and then run to our event. And so that's why we're doing it at 12 to 4. And, okay, I'm sorry about
that. No, it's okay. So and with this event, we're having a free T-shirt and goodie bags when you scan our QR code on the flyer to register. We're also having agency booths. We're having survivor stories. So that's how we're going to start off this event. We're going to start off with the survivor stories, go into a good big tier.
And we're going to walk for hope.
And we're going to walk for hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in Deming.
Correct.
Right. And so they're not in conflict. The child.
Day of the Young Child.
Comes first.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So then here in Silver on April 27th, Amaya?
Yes. That's Saturday. We're going to be doing another 5K Walk for Hope, and that'll be for Western New Mexico University at the football field. And that one's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Quick question. Will you guys be registering people the day of?
Yes.
Awesome.
Good question. Yeah. Good question, Renee.
So I have to give a huge shout out to Western, their athletic department. They were awesome on creating this event for us.
They are turning the scoreboard into a screen. Amaya's been working at these slideshows. So when the survivors are speaking, there's going to be a slideshow behind them. And they've just been, Western's been super awesome, Western Mexico University. So thanks, Amaya. Shout out to them.
Yes, and I won't leave everybody out, but also a big shout out to for Deming of Chris Bryce, the county manager. He's the one that helped us get this event going as well.
And then in Lordsburg, Tisha Green.
Tisha Green, she's going to start off by going over the proclamation on the reason why we do National Crime Victim Rights Week.
Well, see, it shows you that Deming's more than duck races.
Right.
You know, Susan, you were saying that this Saturday is going to be so busy. Next Saturday is going to be so busy, right, with our National Crime Victims Rights Week tour of the Gila, and whatever else might be going on. But April's been a busy month. I want to let you know that April has so many things that happen. So April is Autism Awareness Month. You knew that, right?
Yeah. Well, April, nobody do now.
April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, right? You know that one, SAS through SAS, right? April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. And I'm sure there's more that I'm missing, but there's all this awareness being raised, and we have a week to get our National Crime Victims' Rights to raise awareness. So I really do encourage the community. I want to thank you guys for having us on this show.
It's been our pleasure. Yeah.
And I do want to really encourage all who's listening to come down and check it out and listen to some survivors speak, some providers speak. I'm hoping to have people there that, you know, we're going to be there.
Yeah, come check out some great agencies.
So agencies that are going to be there. So, again, thank you guys so much for allowing us to do this, too.
Yeah.
National Crime Victims Rights Week is April 21st through the 27th. We're wrapping it up here in Silver City because last year when we did National Crime Victims Rights Week, we had a great turnout here in Silver City, and we did it on Wednesday evening that time. Mm-hmm. So we want to have some fun with the community on a Saturday, so hopefully you guys can come out.
Yeah.
Especially with the weather warming up. So
that's really, really kind of summing things up. But I want to go back. I want to go back to the child, the day of the young child.
Sure.
And they're victims. They,
absolutely.
The amount of, people don't realize the amount of children that are, live in a situation, it may not be physical abuse, but there's abuse going on. I drove a school bus here for 5 years for, you know, Silver City Consolidated Schools, and I don't know if you know Tina Montoya, she's the one who owns all the buses. But anyway, I would go stop to pick a child up, and you know, we have some areas that are kind of rough, and I would have sometimes kids come out and they're in their socks. Mm-hmm. They're not even prepared or anything. And, of course, I would just say, I'll wait here. You have to go find your shoes. But nobody's taking care of them. And you could feel that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's abuse. Even if it's not physical, if they're not being taken care of and somebody's not getting them ready for school, then that's child abuse.
There's definitely negligence there. And yeah. The thing is, again, the child didn't ask for it. Victims don't ask to be victimized.
No, they don't. So I think it's very important that we become aware of these things. And I can't thank you guys enough for coming here. And I wasn't aware. I was like going oblivious around my thing. But I am involved in a great play that the kids are putting on at Aldo School, you know, Frankenstein.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. A pretty weird play, actually, but they're doing such a great job, and I'm excited about it. And I'm the stage manager, so that's why I was late getting here. I wanted to get here early, but I was so involved in,
right,
you know, what we were doing. But there's so many things going on, and thank you for being aware of this, you know,
no,
because
absolutely.
This is so important.
And if there's any questions, again, my name is Albert Placencia. I'm a victim witness coordinator with the 6th Judicial District Attorney's Office. You could reach me at 575-956-9709. That is the direct line to my computer, wherever I'm stationed at the time. So if I'm at my computer, I'll get the call. If not, leave a message and I'll return your call. And you could reach Amaya at... I don't know the number of mine.
At 575-654-2894, and that is our personal line as well.
Yeah. So, I know you know what you could do if you forget these numbers. Go to the archives and listen to the show. And actually, you could just slide your finger along, and so you come to the end of the show. And you
can nice segue. I liked that. Yeah. That was a good one.
So, okay, we have 2 minutes left, and I guess Renee and I are going to talk about what's going on here. And I can't. You don't have to go, but I thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, isn't it great to have a community radio? KURU 89.1 FM in sunny Silver City. And again, we keep talking about, but, you know, gmcr.org, not .com, not .net, not .edu, it's .org. and so go there, and you could donate to our station, because I'm a volunteer. Renee's a volunteer. Nobody gets paid here. Well, Marcus does, but you notice Marcus walks everywhere. So anyway, and that's it. Wendy, are you about ready to turn us off?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to our show, Gender Trouble.